I noticed second service, Pastor Jesse didn't even try to say the word quorum. You may be saying, what in the world is a quorum anyway? According to the bylaws of the Assembly of God here, River of Life Assembly, we are required to have a legal meeting of the membership. We are required to do two things. One is that we would announce 2 weeks prior and in each of the morning services as we gather regularly scheduled services that we would announce that there will be a meeting, which we have done over the last 2 weeks. This would be the third week, actually, we announced it. And the second is that we have a majority plus one of the membership. Well, our membership currently stands at 124. So that means that 62 is cut in half. In order to have a majority, you have to have 63. So if we have 63 members come tonight, then we can have a meeting. Those are the two requirements. If we don't have 63 members come this evening, that means that next week or the week after, we'll start announcing a meeting again. So that's why Pastor Jesse says, don't just send a delegate from your home, because if only one of every two comes, we don't have enough. We have to have one of every two plus one. So, all right, I look forward to that. On annual business meeting day, it is my tradition that I give the State of the Church address. Now, I know that brings to your mind the State of the Union, and let me assure you that I will not talk that long. We had adopted as our theme last year, more than storage. And you've seen signs around, and we have talked at different points in time throughout the year about this idea of more than storage. And there were two kind of concepts that went along with that process. One is that the future sanctuary, which for 10 years had been used pretty much exclusively as a storage room, would start getting used as something for more than storage. And we, as an endeavor, we were working on sheetrock. We had the county come in and say, what do we need to do in order to have kind of temporary occupancy? What kind of process do we need to go through? They did all those kind of things, and we met their needs and requirements, and we got to the place where they said, okay, don't call us back until you have it finished. That's a long way away yet, maybe. We'll just see. We don't know what the Lord's going to do, right? But on October, either 28th or 29th, I know it's my message. I should have looked it up. But on October 28th or 29th, we met in that room on a Sunday evening for the Pastor Appreciation Banquet, potluck. Last year, it wasn't really a banquet. Felt like a banquet because of all the wonderful food you guys brought, but And what an encouragement to my heart that we got to the place where we did use and have been using on a number of occasions now our future sanctuary for more than storage. That has been wonderful. Secondly, yes, we did do water baptism in there. You're right, Lisa. Secondly, the more than storage would be in our own hearts and in our own lives. It is maybe the most powerful experience in humanity that we can have a relationship, that we can have the God of creation interacting with us on a personal level, that we can come to the foot of the cross and we can surrender our life to Christ, and He transforms us, He saves us, He makes us into new creatures, that we are not only forgiven and invited into His family, but He says that He fills us with His Holy Spirit. There is maybe no more powerful experience that any human can have except to form that relationship with the God of all creation, who is eternally, yesterday, today, and forever the same. It is my thought, even as I look around this room and I see stories in your faces, and I know some of those stories where you cried out to God and you said, God, I need your help, and He helped you. Where you didn't even know what you needed and God provided tremendously, where you were sick and you said, God, heal me, and you experienced His healing. So many stories around the room, and maybe you don't know them all, and I'm pretty certain I don't know them all, but I know so many. And I hope that this past year has been in your life the experience that when you needed the Lord and you called upon Him, that He showed up in your life. But all those things are great for us. And they fill us up. But the truth is, we were built for more than storage of those things. That Jesus said, with what I have done in your life, with what I have given you, go into all parts of the world and make disciples of them, teaching them to do all things that I have shown you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are made for more than storage, and we, out of our life, offer to others. We've seen that done both corporately and individually in our congregation. The first thing I'd like to talk about for a moment is River of Life Assembly, Bingen Campus. Now, many of you may be looking at me and thinking, what? What are you talking about? Because for you, well, how you've heard of it talked about is either dinner church or community dinner. But the actual official name, sorry, I didn't mean to whistle. It just happened. The actual official name is River of Life Assembly. It is chartered as River of Life Assembly, Bingen Campus. And we meet over there every Tuesday, with the exception of the months of July and August, and with the exception of Christmas and New Year's, those weeks. We typically don't have meals then, but we meet every week over there, and we share a meal. Now, if you've sat around the tables with us, you know that there are all different kinds of folks that show up. Some are there just because they absolutely need a meal. And they may not be getting much of a meal anywhere else. And we feed them. Others are there, and you think, I'm not exactly sure why you're there, because you don't seem to be getting any closer to Jesus. You don't seem to have any interest in getting closer to Jesus. In fact, you may be antagonistic to Jesus, but you're sitting around that table. And the truth is, if that person or those people never turn to the Lord, we still offer ourselves and we serve them and we give them food. And every week we do share a 5 to 10 minute story about who Jesus is and what He wants to be and do in our lives. There are others that are there because they just really love the idea and they want to support it. In fact, there is a couple that comes almost every week. They're not connected to our church. They don't attend our church at all. But each of the last 2 years, they have written out a $1,000 check to support River of Life Assembly, Bingen Campus, and the meals that happen there. Because it's meaningful to them. And then there are some who just want to come and serve, who just want to sit around the table and say, I want to be an avenue of discipleship for whoever wants to be. I want to be the person filled with the Spirit, representing Christ and mingling and helping others see Jesus in us. We have a large variety of people. When I say large variety of people, and with an average of about 30 attending, it's not a large number of people, but there are several groups in that mixture. And it's honestly, the interesting thing is that when you look at the Assemblies of God churches around the nation, it's larger than the average. Just at 30 is larger than the average church in the Assemblies of God. The average church in the Assemblies of God is 25. So, let's move on. We gave to missions. We gave money to missions. We gave substantially to missions. In fact, we gave $10,000 to Convoy of Hope, but that doesn't encompass all of our giving to Convoy of Hope with the One Day to Feed the World, because on Mother's Day last year, we started the Feed One initiative, which through Convoy of Hope, average around the world, they feed a child for $10 a day. And we gave somewhere around $500 a month to Feed One through Convoy of Hope, to Convoy of Hope for Feed One, which means that we as a congregation fed 50 children a month in our giving, which is awesome. Yeah. We gave to Next Door Incorporated every month. Now, we didn't give them money, but we gave them the ability to do their business by using our parking lot. And by using our parking lot for them, It's valued at $3,000 a month that we've given to Nextdoor Incorporated every month. We gave to this community through our radio station, which puts out the gospel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in Spanish to reach this community. All of those are a part of the $110,000 that this congregation gave to missions last year. Yeah. Which represents somewhere between 20 and 25% of the overall income of the church. About one every $4.50 went to missions, which is awesome. We also, let me just step away from that thought for a moment, because some people have said to me, why do we give so much to missions when our youth pastor has to work a job outside of the church? Why do we give so much to missions when the pastor and the rest of the staff all took a 10% reduction in pay? That just doesn't seem right. And I have two answers for that, but I feel like I need to share that with the congregation rather than just share that individually with people that ask. One is that missions is the heartbeat of God. I don't think, for me, if I could give 75% of our dollars to missions, I would do it. Now, that presumes the fact that income would raise so much that we'd still cover all the expenses here. But I think that's what God does. I think God looks for faithful people who will catch on to His mission and give wholeheartedly to seeing His name spread throughout the world. And He says, I'm going to give them more to give. I really believe that. And Jesus is the first example of that. If it wasn't so important to God, why would God give what was most important to Him? Why would He give His only begotten Son to become the first missionary to us and to the world? It is the heartbeat of who God is. And so we give. So you say, so what happened with all this other? All the other consequences are my fault. Just so we're clear. Now, I didn't make decisions in a vacuum. I talked with the staff. I talked with the ministry council. We were all on board. But 2 years ago, when we brought Pastor Jesse on board as our youth pastor, I told him, this is how much we have in reserve. If we don't have an increase in income, this money's going to run out in about 2 years. It's been almost 3 years you've been here now. So that money's going to run out in about 2 years. And when it does, it's possible I'm going to come knock on your door and say, hey, look, you're going to have to find a job outside in order to support your youth pastor habit. And that's what he did. And you say, but what about the 10% cut in pay? Well, because I really felt like, and the folks on the ministry council and the folks in the staff agreed with me, that we should reach out and do this community dinner, this River of Life Assembly Bingen campus. And I just have to tell you, initially, it just doesn't break even. And so you spend another, perhaps almost $1,000 a month to support that outreach over there. And the reality is that because of our decision, but specifically my decision, to reach out in the way that we have and to stretch to bring in a youth pastor and to do all the different things, that reserve just kept diminishing to the place that we had to make a decision. And I personally am completely at ease with the decision, because I know that God is faithful. And when we give ourselves to His missionary call, He will meet the need. And whether we have to tighten a belt here or there, that's okay. That's all right. It's part of life. And the truth is that when you look, if you're a member and you come this evening and you look at the finances, you'll say, wow, the church actually ended up a lot better than I thought it was financially. And that's true, because after we made the decisions that we did last year, we've seen the balances come up. In fact, I would think that there are some people in the ministry council that would say, well, we should have reinstated the 10% already. But I, again, told them, look, January, February, and March are typically the lowest giving months of the year. Let's wait till March before we even reconsider any of this. But otherwise, I think at the end of December, a number of the ministry council would have said, let's reinstate the 10%, because that's how December ended. We ended up in really good shape. So you say, what about Pastor Jesse? When do we get to invite him back full time on staff? Well, there's a number in our mind. as far as what the reserve needs to look like before we would invite Pastor Jesse to say, okay, you can stop pouring concrete if you want to. Come back and work with us full time. But I don't want to do that if we don't have at least a couple of years in reserve to say, if things go the way they have been going, I don't want to 3 months later say to Pastor Jesse, oh, by the way, you need to get a job again. That doesn't make sense to me. So we have benchmarks that we're looking for that we would have in reserve in order to move forward, to act responsibly to the people who actually rely upon a paycheck from here, you know. So that's kind of that process there. I wanted to answer the question in a larger setting rather than just individually to what was going on. And moving forward, missions going. We didn't just give money. We sent people. We sent a whole team down to Guatemala, and they built desks, and they met the needs of folks that desperately needed help down there. I talked about the radio station. We're doing that all the time. We have been talking about and regularly give towards planting a church down in Panama. You say, planting a church in Panama? That's the first I ever heard of that, Pastor. It may be for some of you. But we have given probably so far to date somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000 towards seeing a church planted in Panama. And I wouldn't doubt that before it's all said and done, it may be another $15,000 to $25,000 that ends up going that direction to plant a church in Panama. I don't know where all that money comes from, but I know it comes from God. And I also know in my heart and in my spirit that we're called to do it. Otherwise, why would God have sent Saul and Zoila to us almost 10 years ago? I think to work through us to plant them in the calling that God has called them to. And so those are things that happen. That's what I'm talking about, and that's what we saw happen in the congregation when we talk about more than stories. Yes, we did see a physical representation of it, but I believe in many ways we have seen expression of that happen even through our missions giving and our missions endeavors through the process this past year. The new theme for 2020 is the word together. Together. As I think about the assemblies of God, I think about a couple of things. One is I think about a group of 300 people that met in 1914, just over 100 years ago. And they formed, out of some of the Azusa Street revival and a number of things going on, they formed this group of 300, and they came really as independent believers, independent churches, churches that were Pentecostal through the Azusa Street revival movement, but churches that also come out of the holiness movement and a bunch of different things where they gather together. And they're saying in many ways, if you read some of the transcripts, you get the idea that they would not have done this except that they desired that the world would see the greatest work of evangelism it had ever seen. And their statement was, we can do a lot alone, but together we can do so much more. And the truth is that we are still a group of independent churches in some ways. That we don't even describe ourselves in the Assemblies of God as a denomination. We are a fellowship of churches. Because each church is autonomous as long as they have enough members, right? You have to have 25 active voting members in order to gain this sovereign status. But each church is autonomous. They have the power to own land and buildings. Each church has the power to call their own ministers to serve them as pastors. When you think about the network office in Oregon and the national office in Springfield, the truth is that they don't really have governing authority over this body of believers. I will tell you this, they have governing authority over me. Okay? Because I'm responsible to be along with the doctrinal stance of the Assemblies of God. I'm responsible to be an active member in the fellowship at large. They have governing authority over me, but they don't over this congregation. The highest governing authority in this congregation, it's not the pastor. It's not the ministry council. It's the membership. Okay? The members of this congregation own the properties and have all the power of election. Literally, you as a membership could say, we don't want you to be our pastor anymore. And you have the power. They won't. Don't worry. It's okay. But but you as a membership have that authority. Okay? Together. The power of together. 300 people just over 100 years ago. Today, worldwide, the Assemblies of God is more than 66 million people strong. It is the fastest, Pentecostal denominational growth. They call it, other people call it denominational. Fastest growth of a group, a Pentecostal group in the entire world. And they have, we have seen the greatest work of evangelism this nation, this world has ever seen. In fact, in Africa alone, among Assemblies of God churches, more people are saved every day than were saved on the day of Pentecost. When we're talking about what we can do together as opposed to what we can do apart, I'd like you to read, and I'm not going to talk about it, I'm not going to read it, but I'd like you to read Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians chapter 4 verses 14 to 16 go through this whole conversation about God has called us not to be children, but to actually grow as a body, all the joints and ligaments fitted rightly together, so that speaking the truth in love, we might actually build up the body of Christ in love, and we might be all that we're supposed to be. And that's what this together in my mind is linked to, this idea that this community becomes important. One of the things that we've talked about and that caused me to come to this word as my theme for the year is that wall back there and talking about somehow diminishing the mortgage or even getting rid of the mortgage entirely and what it would free us up to do. And Wes Lapp, many of you may or may not know Wes, but he comes to First Service and he kind of led the team in terms of putting together a mortgage challenge to say, what can we do to make a bigger dent in that mortgage that we have for this building? And he challenged me to say, I guess first what we ought to do is figure out why we'd want to do that. He says, you can look at the purpose statement in the bulletin. And he says, it's a great statement. It talks about all the things that we do and whatever. He says, he said to me, I'm not certain it's accessible to a lot of people, that the understanding isn't as strong as it could be. And before I talk any further, I'd like to say this. I know that somewhere between 17 and 18 years ago, a group of people sat down and really came up with that statement. And, you know, you can see in the Assemblies of God tenets of faith, the purpose of the church in that statement. All the points are right in that statement. But it's very, and I do want to say I appreciate the work that's done in the past, and for the last 17 years, it's been right there as our leading statement in our bulletin. But then when we're looking at this process to talk about how do we say that in a way that can touch larger groups of people. And so I came up with this statement through 3 months of prayer and kind of digging in, and I'll put it out there for your thoughts. Not that you should give them to me right now while I'm talking. It says, River of Life Assembly exists to embrace community. Now, in my mind, there's a hard stop right there. In the statement, it's not a hard stop. But in my mind, there's a hard stop right there. River of Life Assembly exists to embrace community. Now, for me, that's a double entendre, which means it's got two meanings at the same time, right? The first meaning it has is this, that we exist to embrace the community of believers. That, in fact, we cannot be the people of God except that we're connected to each other. And we exist to embrace that community and to say, I want to help you. I want you to help me to become the follower of Jesus that we need to be. I want your gifts to be expressed in my life, and I want my gifts to be expressed in your life. And together, we will actually be that body rightly fitted together and building one another up and speaking the truth in love and seeing love be expressed in our lives. The second meaning is that we actually exist to embrace the larger community. That God came as Jesus, his only begotten son, to the cross, not just to embrace a church. He came as love for anybody, everybody, whosoever. And we exist, River of Life Assembly exists to embrace community. And it goes on to say, and to help anyone. I know it's going further, but I'm just stopping at points to talk a little bit, okay? We exist to embrace community and to help anyone. And it doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter what gender they are or they think they are. It doesn't matter what sexual orientation they are. It doesn't matter whether they're thieves or druggies or alcoholics. It doesn't matter. We exist to help them. Amen. We exist to help anyone grow. Now, in the old purpose statement, you would look at it and say, oh, wait, that must be under discipleship. Absolutely it is, because we want them to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. We want them to grow in a relationship with the Lord. We want them to grow in just being better people, in maturing and not being childlike. The Bible says that we put away childish things and we grow into maturity. To help anyone grow and find freedom. Well, it doesn't say and. Help anyone grow, find freedom. Now, finding freedom, you could put in Christian words in the category of salvation, in the category of deliverance. Finding freedom is a lot of things. We want to help people find freedom, the things that hold them back. Freedoms from addictions. Addictions to pornography, addictions to alcohol, addictions to drug. We exist to help people find those freedoms. It's through the power of Christ. We can't do it, but Christ can. And we exist to help anybody find freedom, whether it's from deliverance in their life or maybe it is that first freedom. When we bow before the Lord and we say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Forgive me of all that I have done wrong and let me follow you as Lord the rest of my life. In that moment, Jesus fills us with his spirit. He washes us clean. He forgets our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, he separates our iniquities from us. He loves us and he calls us joint heirs, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. We exist to help people, anyone find freedom. To grow, find freedom, and discover purpose. Discover purpose, again, in Christian language, could be talking about evangelism. Could be talking about missionary work. Could be talking about just service in the midst of the body of Christ or in the community at large, that we believe that God has a purpose for every one of us and there are gifts that he has given and all of us should find his purpose in our life and begin to express it in the body of Christ, in the community at large and around the world. To help anyone grow, find freedom and discover purpose through knowing and following the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. For a long time, as I was putting this statement together, it just said, grow, find freedom, and discover purpose through knowing the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. And I don't know, about a month ago, I thought to myself, as I was praying, knowing's not enough. Knowing's not enough. Even if you come to the church this morning and you say you know an awful lot about Jesus, can I just tell you, knowing is not enough. You have to follow Him. Knowing and following the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. It used to be knowing the life and following the teaching. You don't need to know the whole derivation of how it got there. But right now is knowing and following the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. And that's why we exist to do things. That's why together we want to tackle this mortgage so that we can actually make a greater difference in our community to help anyone grow, to help anyone find freedom, to help anyone discover purpose by knowing and following Jesus. There's a couple of things that I'd like to say, and perhaps Ivy, could you go tell Pastor Harvey it's about time for him to come in? I'd like to say as we move forward, one is that this year, I meet with the pastors of the community pretty much every Thursday morning for prayer. Obviously, all of our lives, every time doesn't work. But as often as I can, I go meet with them. And we determined this year that we were not going to do a worship service in the park. So we're not going to have a Sunday worship service in the park. We determined that what we needed to do instead was to have a service as worship to our community. And so on Saturday, August 1st, the churches, anyone who's a part of the churches that wants to, will gather together. We've already contacted the school superintendent, Hood River County Schools, and asked her, what can we do? We're willing to bring 200 to 400 people and $2,000 plus to the table. What can we do? We just want to serve. You tell us what would help you. And instead of doing a worship service to express unity, that we want to do a service as worship for the community. So we'll gather that morning. We'll have some kind of breakfast. We'll have an unplugged worship set to where we just kind of sing praise. And then we will, whether it's one project or two projects or three projects, I don't know that yet. We're still working all those details. We'll split up to do our work, and hopefully after 3 hours or so, we'll all gather back together and have a lunch meal, and then it'll be done. And we'll have, instead of met for a worship service in the park, that we will meet in unity to serve the community. So that's kind of the plan, and that's what we want to see happen more and more through our congregation. And it's one of the reasons we're trying to see that mortgage disappear, that $6,000 every month obligation. Because what could we do to serve our community and make a difference without that payment? So we're going to invite Pastor Harvey and some kids to come and do a little role-playing skit for us.
All right. We have a special kids, Waymakers Kids presentation for you. And Lulu's going to start.
To help pay off the mortgage, we kindergarteners through third graders are going to work and earn at least $100. And we're challenging you, fourth through sixth graders, to earn that tenfold to get at least 900 donations for $1 for a total of $1,000 or one brick.
Hold on. I have to check with my people on this.
A challenge has been thrown down.
Challenge accepted.
All right. So let's fast forward to Sunday afternoon back at home.
Hey, Mom, how much will you pay me if I clean out the car?
If you vacuum out both vehicles, I'll give you $1 for each car.
Okay. Thanks, Mom.
All right. Meanwhile, one of our fourth through sixth graders goes to see a neighbor.
Hi. I belong to a church, River of Life Assembly, that embraces community and is here to help anyone grow, find freedom, and discover purpose by knowing and following the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. I am doing extra chores with other kids from church to earn at least $100 to help my church pay off its mortgage and finish its sanctuary. Would you be willing to help us give a matching donation of $1?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Here's your receipt and information about my church.
Cool, thanks. All right. Just a little glimpse.
So just so you know, that actually was a real experiment, and the kindergartners through third graders are already beginning to try to raise $100, and the fourth through ninth graders, this is why I told you to bring a dollar potentially, are going to be looking for matching donations today and however long it takes. There's no timeline on this. So it could take 2 to 3 months for the kindergartners to raise $100 through third graders. It could take 6 months for the fourth through ninth graders to raise $900. But it doesn't matter. At that point in time, we will celebrate and there'll be a brick come off the wall and a second challenge will be issued from the fourth to ninth graders to the next age group. We'll explain a lot more of that in this evening's annual business meeting. And I hope you can come and be a part of it. Whether you're a member or not, I hope you can come and just kind of get a sense more of where the church is, who the church is, and where we're going. I want to talk about just one other thing as we're going to close the State of the Church address this morning. And that is, when I think about together, I think about the word connection. And the interesting thing is that in our congregation, I would say that there are so many people that feel very, very connected. But I also know that there are people in our congregation that they may even have attended for a number of years and feel like they're not connected to anybody. And it's my hope that we as a church can create multiple avenues of connection for folk this year, beyond what we already do, but to create new opportunities for us to connect with each other. I would say this, that if you are one of those that today feels disconnected at some level, that you may feel like you've even put all kinds of effort to be connected and it's just not happened. But we will not connect with each other unless we do it together. And I would just say to this year, maybe more than any year, put out extra effort. Individually, you put out effort to try to connect with others. Because I make a commitment to you today that one of the things that I'm going to work on this coming year is for more opportunities for us to build those connections. I don't know what that'll all look like. If you've got thoughts and ideas, I'm an open book, okay? Share them with me. Together with each other, together with Christ, together with the community abroad, what God can do in and through us, there is no limit. There is nothing that's impossible. And I believe that through whatever struggles we have, through whatever processes we're in, that God's promise to us is yes and amen, and He will never fail us. He will never fail us. Would you join me in standing? I know that this message, the State of the Church address, is a little different than most messages, but still, I believe that God may be talking to you, and I would just invite you to respond to Him in whatever way seems appropriate, whether that's coming to these altars or whether that is going out to lunch together, you know. Lord, we are so grateful that You love us and that You've called us to be together with You. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that even as we consider the year that's in front of us, that You would fill our hearts with faith, our spirits with hope. And Lord God, that we would walk forward trusting in You. I pray, Lord, that you would be our ever-present help. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may God add his blessing. May he go with us. May we walk in his presence. May we enjoy the fellowship of the saints together with our Lord. God bless you, and God be with you.